All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Appreciate y'all being on the call today. We're still working this webinar. I think the webinar is more effective. We have found out that I have Skype for Business. The government uses Skype, but the best that the IT people can tell me right now is I don't have .mil. So that's why I can't invite .mil and they can't invite me. We're still working it, trying to figure out what workaround. Potentially, it may be that we actually host these out of Robin's training shop in the future. Hopefully, it doesn't come to that, but it may. So, but for the meantime, we're still going to go through this. The coaching guide, some of you might have heard me talking to Sergeant Modlin. This is a new product. It was just shown, it was just used for the first time with the reserve in March when we did the phase one flight chief training. They're the first ones to see it, get a chance to go through it. And we just want to make sure, we're trying to focus on tools that'll make flight chiefs, that'll make you more effective and more efficient. I know y'all are doing coaching. You probably have your senior recruiters and or lead recruiters doing some of the coaching as well. This guide can be shared with them. It's pretty simple to use. I do not foresee this teleseminar to take today taking anywhere near an hour. But I do want to go through the coaching guide, highlight some of the pieces in it, and from there, trying to figure out who's call coming in. And from there, again, hopefully it's going to be a tool that's going to make it easier for you guys to use and be more effective in your coaching. You've got a million things that you're responsible for, and if we can provide tools that make it easier for you to do parts of it, that's what we want to do. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Table of contents. On page two, how to use this guide. I'm not going to read that to you. Page three should look very familiar to everybody. We're doing is highlighting the secret of the selling is in front of a qualified prospect when they're ready to buy, not when you need to make the sale. The five characteristics and the three rules. The one thing I would stress, especially in the five characteristics, with younger recruiters, you need to be careful and make sure they're not wasting a lot of time with people that are just willing to listen to them. I think we've all been in that boat, either when you're new or when recruiting is tough, you're under pressure, you really thought, well, if I can just talk to a few more people, I can probably do this. But you've got to make sure on those characteristics, the more they have, the better the opportunity to close and get a commitment from them. If they're just willing to listen to you, your recruiters may find that they're spinning their wheels, and it can really lead to frustration and burnout. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit more as part of the pre-coaching session. So let's move on page number three. What you're going to find is the entire book is laid out like this for each of the steps. And we'll start off. This one has positioning and prospecting in the same one. You'll notice up at the top that it's got, first of all, it's got the purpose is to gather the information. What are the key activities? It's about getting data and positioning yourself. The next section talks about the selling skill levels. Okay, when there are some things you can look out for that really talk about as they're starting to develop. And then when they're becoming more effective, you'll see how it moves over to, so for instance, developing little to no engagement in activities to enhance positioning. They're probably being very reactive, working a lot of inbound leads, maybe national leads, things like that. As they progress, moderate engagement and positioning activities, participating in opportunities are presented, but they may not be proactively initiating new activities. So in other words, if they get an invitation to go to a school or to go to a job fair, something like that, they'll go, but they're really not out seeking them. And then the last one is the mastery, is when they're really out there proactively initiating and engaging in activities, they're elevating positioning, they're moving from recruiter to Air Force Reserve expert to that strategic resource. I talked yesterday a little bit with the guys and the ladies, flight chief leaders, about the positioning piece. I find it interesting that more and more recruiters, and I see it even in the commercial side and sales industry, they refer to themselves as representatives, things like that. At the end of the day, I try to remind the recruiters that, hey, you can call yourself whatever you want to, but these applicants and these prospects know that you're a recruiter. Just because you call yourself something else doesn't really make a difference. They still know you're a recruiter. It's by positioning yourself and establishing yourself as a value resource that they begin to look at you as something other than a recruiter. So again, just because they have a representative or refer themselves as an Air Force Reserve representative, it doesn't position them any differently with the prospects. The positioning is an active role, things that they're doing to show that they are a strategic value resource. The next section in the orange there talks about coaching the investigate step skills. The left-hand column provides some questions that as the coach, you need to be asking, and it's going to help you determine what skill level they're at. Are they developing? Are they effective? Or are they getting towards the mastery? And then the right side column is the coaching tips. And these are things that you can discuss with the recruiter to help them along the skill levels. Move on. The next one's pre-call planning. It is it's set up the exact same way. Preparing for the recruiting conversation. Reminder of what pre-call planning is all about. What the key activities are that need to be happening here. The ways to identify where they're at in the skill level. And the coaching tips. I would point out here, we use this on the commercial side as well. And on the mastery side, the last one says, sends written agenda prior to every scheduled recruiting conversation, invites feedback from the prospect. I'm not as concerned about a written agenda because sometimes it may just be the initial meeting. However, and a big foot stomper here because it goes in down to the coaching tips, the first one, is if they're not sending a written agenda, they should at least be confirming the appointment. Why? Somebody tell me, why is it important for a recruiter to confirm their appointments prior to? Number one.
To try to prevent a no-show.
Exactly. Try to prevent a no-show. And if you've heard me before on anything dealing with pre-call planning, pre-appointment planning, The number one reason that recruiters don't confirm their appointment, somebody tell me, why do they not confirm an appointment? Why won't they call them or email them or text them the day before to verify the appointment?
I think maybe they're afraid that they're going to get opposition. They're going to be afraid that they're going to say, nah, I don't want to come in. And if that's the case, then they probably didn't have a sense of urgency or the five characteristics to begin with.
Yep, you nailed it right on the head. Yeah, it's a fear of them saying no. And my response to anyone that has ever told me that is, do you really think if they were going to tell you no the day before, do you really think they were going to show up the appointment the next day? And the answer is no. You know, if they were going to tell you no the day before, they're not showing up at that appointment. Time is too valuable. And that's probably one of the things as a flight chief you see with recruiters, especially the younger ones, is struggling with time management. There's so much they have to do. It takes 5 minutes to confirm an appointment, and failure to do so can result in a loss of an hour of productivity the next day, because most likely they've got at least an hour blocked off for that appointment. They're sitting there waiting, hoping the person's going to show up. And, you know, that's just not that's not a good use of time. So, again, if anything in there, if it's an initial interview, as far as the written agenda, yeah, it doesn't hurt just when you send that reminder, the confirmation is, you know, what they're supposed to bring with them, things like that, it's fine. But, again, my focus is more not on the written agenda, but on confirming that appointment, making sure. Now, they should have an idea of what's going to happen at the appointment, though. Okay? Moving on to the meet step, designed the same way. What the meet step's about, the key activities, the different skill levels. Very nice breakdown of the behavior styles. You can even copy this as a reference for the recruiters, or they also can be using their behavior style cards. Those should still be out there, the little four cards that come in the little plastic sleeve. If you don't have any, or your recruiters don't have them, you need some, let RSOT know. We're trying to get an idea. Do they need to get some more of those to get them out to the field? Anyone not familiar with what I'm talking about? Okay. Again, it's just those little sleeves. It's got the four cards in there, talks about the behaviors. That or this is a great review for the recruiters to get it fresh in their mind. Okay, how do I need to be working with this individual, especially in the meet step to establish the trust and rapport? What am I looking for? All right, probe. Moving on to the probe. Set up the same way, what the probe's about, key activities, the skill levels, the coaching techniques, coaching questions. And again, these are things that, you know, before, if you're with the recruiter and, you know, I would do this, especially if you're out, you're doing a JCA, you should be familiar with a lot of these, having done them. What are the questions you're going to ask to open the conversation? What's your desired outcome from this call? They should have an idea going in. If it's an initial interview, you know, the desired outcome is not going to be an enlistment, is it? It's going to be, hey, let's get the MEPS processing. Are they talking to other services? Do you know any wants and needs? Have you identified anything potentially that you can dig deeper in the probe step? Are you ready to offer a summary statement if it gets that far? So again, these are questions that you can be asking the recruiter before appointments about what's going to make them more effective in the probe step. Moving on to the apply step, same thing. One thing I'll point out here, and I've noticed this observing quite a few recruiters, different branches, in their sales interview presentation, number two, don't overwhelm your prospect. Recruiters have a lot of knowledge. Hopefully they have a lot of product knowledge. I'm not sure. I just maybe wasn't paying attention in the past, but it seems more and more that they, in the probe step, they're identifying wants and needs, but for some reason, when they get to the apply step, it's a benefit dump. You really need to caution them because, believe it or not, sometimes less is more. And that don't overwhelm ties directly to tailor your recommendation. Somebody tell me, what's the problem when a recruiter gives an applicant too much information about everything they know about the reserve? What could be a problem with that?
It can cloud their judgment, make them second guess things, not knowing the unknown, doing more research, stop the process because of it. I mean, there's a number of things that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing too is they can only remember so much. You know, you can only remember so much at a time. And I may be telling the applicant all about the gyms and the fitness and the MWR, and in their mind they're like, what is he talking about? And then I move into the education, they may still be back in the, what was all this about the fitness and the gym and MWR? Again, it's focusing on the wants and needs. And like I said, it may have been happening before, but I've just been noticing it lately. Maybe I'm paying more attention to it, is that sometimes recruiters do a great job of identifying wants and needs, but when they get into the apply step, they're just dumping everything. So that's just something to be aware of. And it, like I said, I've seen this from all the components and even different services I've seen. So the best way to make sure that you and your applicant are on the same place is number five, use the feedback questions. Simple as, hey, how does it sound? Does this make sense? You got to make sure that the recruiters and the applicant are tracking in the apply step. Under the convince, again, same setup. What's the convince step about? The key activities that happen in convince. What are the skill levels? You can evaluate the recruiter based on where along here, which statements best describe them. The coaching questions, and then coaching tips. As you're developing, sometimes, you know, again, the convince step is the one that may not be needed, but it should always be offered. Depending on the behavior style, depending on the person, you know, it could be as simple as, well, you're done with the apply step, you get agreement. Hey, would you like to see some things that attest to what we talked about in the education, whatever it was we taught, training, pay, whatever it was. And it's up to the applicant. Sometimes they'll say yes. Sometimes they'll say, no, I'm good. If they say no, I'm good, then you move on. If they say yes, down in the coaching tips, it's just a good little reminder of what height means the most. So like with me for a high B, don't give me a bunch of facts, figures, data, graphs, charts, because I'm not going to read it or look at it. I want bullets. If I want something, I want it bullet, and I want it focused on the results, not what could happen. Influencer, they like the testimonials. They'll be great for reading the letters from the kids, basic and tech school and all that. That's what they like. Okay. So, again, with recruiters, they can start to develop and understand, depending on what the person's behavior is what type of information will work best in the convince step. And then the tie it up step, set up the same way. The only thing I'll highlight out of here, and I've never understood it. As recruiters, I know you've seen it, probably at flight sheets, especially if you were in doing training with recruiters before. But the tie it up steps is about asking for the commitment. And I am not sure why, I know why, but I don't know the why behind the why is recruiters don't ask for commitment. I've seen them dance around the subject, doing everything they can to get the applicant to come out and say, okay, what do I need to do next? Or, hey, can I go to Mets? They don't ask for the commitment. The why is generally the fear of being told no, the fear of rejection. I don't know the why behind the why, because if they've done a good job, this should be a natural outcome. But what I would tell you about this is the fear of rejection part is really stressed with your recruiters that, you know, no, there's not a recruiter out there that's 100%. In other words, they close one-to-one close ratio. So everyone they talk to, they close, okay? First of all, recruiters need to understand that there are some people that they will deal with that they can do the best job in the world of building value, applying solutions to their wants and needs, and that person, the applicant, will still not commit. What recruiters need to understand is if they've done everything they can within their power to build that value, overcome objections, overcome concerns, done everything they're supposed to do, and they're told no, the applicant is not rejecting the recruiter. They're rejecting the opportunity, okay? It's not personal. It's a rejection of the opportunity, not the recruiter. And sometimes I think, especially the younger recruiters, they're going to need to hear that. Is that, hey, look, you know what? You did a great job on the interview. You built the value. You know, I talked to them. We just couldn't get them to commit, and they rejected the opportunity. It wasn't anything you did. It wasn't an attack personally on you. Okay, so sometimes recruiters need to hear that. Now, if it was the recruiter's fault as a coach, sometimes you've got to call the baby ugly and say, hey, the reason they said no is, you know, you had a great conversation, but you didn't build value, things like that. So. But that's in the coaching tips there. So the last page to me is a great simplified checklist, okay? Whether it's for you, whether you're a senior recruiter, your lead recruiter, you know, if they're going to be doing the coaching and you're giving them this guide to use. First of all, it's coaching cadence. What do we mean by coaching cadence? And you can read the first sentence there under coaching cadence and put it in your own words. But what are we talking about when we're talking about a coaching cadence? Anybody?
I think it's just setting up the expectation up front with your recruiters and letting them know that you're going to be engaged with their development and their training, and it's something that's going to be consistent.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's setting the expectation that, hey, we're going to be doing some coaching, whether it's me, whether it's my senior recruiter, whether it's my lead recruiter, maybe it's all of us, depending on how many people you have. You're setting that expectation is that, hey, we are here. We're going to be doing some coaching. We're going to help you develop. Okay? And it just gives you, and if you look at this, it's not broken down into impact steps, but if you look at the checklist, you can kind of in your mind relate this to impact. talks about before the coaching conversation, consider where they're at, determine the challenges or needs for coaching, what is their success concepts, that need more review. That's investigating, right? You've got to investigate and figure out where they at, where they need to go. Okay? During the conversation, ask the recruiter. Okay? Again, it's the probe. Find out from them what their perceptions of are, how things are going, where they're at. The next one, this year, if the recruiter truly is working their leads and applicants, especially when they get to an interview, they should know this and should be able to tell you this. This can even be done if you're doing a review with your recruiter over the phone. I have seen, granted this was years ago back when we did packages, not electronically, we had a recruiter that consistently did not make goal, but every month they turned in that they had 20 or 30 working applicants. The recruiter ended up getting sick, going in the hospital, going on convalescent leave, and I was sent to their office to work the applicants. It was actually 31 packages that I went through that were, quote, working applicants. When I got done, how many, somebody take a guess, how many working applicants you think I ended up with after I went through those 31 packages that had been working for months and months?
Five.
I wish. Literally zero. Okay? So, yeah, it was, like I said, a long time ago, recruiters long gone. But, yeah, every month, you know, they didn't make goal, and they were working 30-something applicants. But when I went out there, these were not even qualified people. So, yeah, when you talk to your recruiters, you know, you can ask them, hey, how many, how qualified is this person based on the five qualifying characteristics? Where are they in the process? What's the prospect's next step? What's your next step? This could also be a nice guideline for your word picture and efforts. After the appointment, you know, was the objective of the appointment met, and what was that? Where are you at the decision process? What evidence do you have? The evidence is key. You know, they're always going to say, oh, yeah, they're ready, or they're ready to go to Mets. Well, if you don't have them scheduled, haven't started paperwork, what evidence do you have that that's really where they're ready to do? And then the next one, the next major bullet, the key to coaching is not to tell, but to ask questions and listen. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what we do in the probe, ask and listen?
Yes.
So, again, these are good questions that you can ask the recruiter to really get them thinking, really get them involved in the process so that it's not just filling squares. They're actually engaged in what they're doing. It's going to make them better. It's going to make them more effective, more efficient. And it also helps because based on this and what they tell you, you can develop a improvement plan. And if you think back, this is very similar to any PME that you've gone through. When you do a counseling session in PME, I know teaches, is it better for you to give a solution or for the individual you're counseling to come up with a solution and then you hold them accountable, which is the better option?
They provide the solution.
Yeah, because you got buy-in immediately, right? Recruiting coaching should be no different, right? Ask the question, get them to identify what their challenges are, and then continue to ask questions, you know, why is the situation occurring? And if it happens next, what are you going to do? Are there any alternatives to keep this from happening? Walk me through your thought process on that. So if a recruiter says, well, I'm making a lot of phone calls, but I can't get anyone to commit to come in for an appointment. Okay. So why is that situation occurring? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, so when that happens, what do you do next? Well, I go on to the next one. All right. What's the alternative? Well, I might not be effective on the phone, you know. So, hey, that sounds like a training opportunity. Not a coaching necessarily, but training. Hey, do they even know how to do phone calls? And then when they start doing them, it may be the coaching opportunity. If you just remember, when I say training and coaching, I separate them. Is the training is the generic, providing the information, whereas coaching to me is the real-time course correction, observing it live as it happens. That's where I differentiate training and coaching. I don't lump them together for that reason, okay? So you may tell them, say, all right, well, I tell you what, kind of like I'm, you know, this is that, walk me through the process on the telephone call. All right, well, pretend I'm the applicant, you be the recruiter, call me, let's have a discussion. They may not know what to say on the phone. They may not even know how to open the conversation. Again, so you really have to dig in here, but the better you are at getting them to self-identify and provide a self-corrective measure that you think will work, then your role is to hold them accountable. And that's that last one. After the coaching conversation, recap any action items from the conversation with the recruiter and confirm your next scheduled coaching conversation. And again, that has to do with the cadence. But it's the accountability piece. You can go out and coach every time, but if you are not holding them accountable, do you think you're going to see any change? Is it easier to change or keep doing things the way you have been?
Change is not easy.
And if they are not held accountable, you will have a few exceptions to the rule that may get better anyway, but for the most part, if there is no accountability, they're going to go back to the way they've always done it because that's easier. That's what they're used to, right? So, again, that accountability piece. So that's it. The guide is not difficult. We've tried to make it as easy as possible as a tool. This is not mandated by RSOC that you will use it. It is a tool in your toolbox. Hopefully you find value in it. Again, it's to make your job, make you more effective and also more efficient, where you don't have to spend hours developing coaching. You've got a guide right here that can help you get right to the heart of it. Now, one thing I do want to hit, Tuesday on the call, I talked about it on the apply, but I didn't want to confuse anybody. Overcoming objections. If you have someone coming out of the schoolhouse in the total force classroom, they have changed the acronym of how they teach overcoming objections. Okay? As flight chiefs, you need to be aware of this because you may hear brand new recruiters talking about POP, EOP. No, we have not changed overcoming objections. They changed the acronym, okay? POP means probe, overcome, and proceed. Under the probe, they're still identifying the objection. They're isolating it to make sure it's the only objection, and if not, they isolate each objection. they still validate the objection. Where did this information come from? That's under the P. Under the overcome is the same way. Provide real world verifiable information that addresses the objection or concern. And then the proceed is the old test for yes, where does that resolve your concern? Is there anything else that concerns you? Are you ready to move forward? That's that test for yes, and then you keep going. Okay? So, the, like I said, the terminology is a little bit different. This was done as a active reserve and guard as part of the Total Force Basic Recruiter course. Like I said, they changed the acronym. So if you're seasoned recruiters or you hear about POP for objections, don't worry about it. We did not change the process. They changed the terminology. Okay. There will be a CBT coming out by next month, computer-based training about overcoming objections using POP. And, you know, if you've got any of you recruiters want to have them take it, it's about a 30-minute, and it'll show them how that the POP is really not any different than the way we've always taught overcoming objections. It's just new terminology. Any questions on that? And I didn't find out about it until after the curriculum changed myself. So I thought it's important that you guys as leaders know that your new recruiters may be coming in with something and you'd be like, what are you talking about? What's a POP? So that's what it is. All right, I'm going to close out our first. Any questions, issues, concerns about the new overcoming objections or the coaching guide? Okay, what I want to close out with, same thing I told them Tuesday. If you guys, if there is training that you're receiving that's not working, let RSOT know. If there are topics that you would like to see covered, let RSOT know. We rack our brains. We're not out in the field, and I'm even farther removed from it, obviously. But we rack our brains for new topics of training, new types of training. If there is training that you think is needed, please let RSOT know that. If there are things that are not working, let RSOT know that, because I know they want to provide the best training support to you possible. But if they're not getting the communication, then, you know, they're not always sure what needs to come next. So please just let them know. If you're not comfortable with telling RSOT and you want to shoot me an email, I never use names. That's fine with me. I don't take it personal. If you want to tell us that some of the training sucks that we provide, that's fine. Hopefully you don't use it sucks. You tell me why it sucks. But I'm always open for that as well. What I need you to do is shoot me an email so I can get you credit for being on the call today. It's gbarnes, gbarnes, at thebrooksgroup.com. Just let me know you're on the call. Let me know what telephone number you called in from. That's how I validate the attendance. And again, you know, I appreciate you being here. After when you're reviewing this, questions come up, you're always free to reach out to me. If you have ideas or that what should be done, what shouldn't be done, take them to training. If you're not comfortable with going to training and you want to shoot me an email, that's fine as well. We want to provide the best training to you. That's what we're here for. So appreciate y'all being on the call. And if there's nothing else, we will talk to you again soon. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.